Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 15. The Pandavas retire timely. Text number 42. Tritve hutva cha panchatvam tat cha ekatve ajuhot muni sarvam Atmani Ajuhavit Brahmani Atmanam Avyaye Tritvehut Vachapam Tatvam
Tritvehut Vachapam Tatvam
Tatschai Katve Johon Muni Sarvam Atman Yujuhavid
Sarvam Atman Yujuhavid
Pramanyat Manam Avyaye
Pramanyat Manam Avyaye
Tritve Hutvacha Panchatvam
Tritve Hutvacha Panchatvam
Tatschai Katve Johon Muni Sarvam Atman Yujuhavid Brahmanyatmanam avyaye Tritve hutvacha panchatvam Tatschai khatve johon muni Sarvam atman yajuhavid Brahmanyatmanam avyaye Tritve, into the three qualities. Hutva, having offered. Cha, also. Panchatvam, five elements. Tat, that. Cha, also. Ekatve, in one nescience. Ajuhot, amalgamated. Muni, the thoughtful. Sarvam, the sum total. Atmani, in the soul. Ajuhavit, fixed. Brahmani, unto the spirit. Atmanam, the soul, avyaye, unto the inexhaustible. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus annihilating the gross body of five elements into the three qualitative modes of material nature, he merged them in one nescience, and then absorb that nescience in the self, Brahman, which is inexhaustible in all circumstances, purport. All that is manifested in the material world is the product of the Mahatattva of Yakta, and things that are visible in our material vision are nothing but combinations and permutations of such variegated material products. But the living entity is different from such material products. It is due to the living entity's forgetfulness of his eternal nature as the eternal servitor of the Lord and his false conception of being a so-called Lord of the material nature that he is obliged to enter into the existence of false sense enjoyment. Thus, a concomitant generation of material energies is the principal cause of the minds being materially affected. Thus, the gross body of five elements is produced. Maharaj Yudhisthira reversed the action and merged the five elements of the body in the three modes of material nature. The qualitative distinction of the body as being good, bad, or mediocre is extinguished, and again the qualitative manifestations become merged in the material energy, which is produced from a false sense of the pure living being. When one is thus inclined to become an associate of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead in one of the innumerable planets of the spiritual sky, especially in Goloka Vrindavan, one has to think always that he is different from the material energy. So this is a little hot tip from Prabhupada. Would you like to reside in Goloka Vrindavan? Yes or no?
Yes.
If the answer is yes, then here's what you have to do. You have to always think that you are different from the material energy. At every second, you should be thinking, I am different from this material energy. If you're not thinking that way, guess what? You're not going to attain the spiritual world. You're going to take birth again here. Continuing. He has nothing to do with it. And he has to realize himself as pure spirit, Brahman, qualitatively equal with the Supreme Brahman, Parameshvara. Maharaj Yudhisthira, after distributing his kingdom to Parikshit and Vajra, did not think himself emperor of the world or head of the Kuru dynasty. This sense of freedom from material relations, as well as freedom from the material encagement of the gross and subtle encirclement, makes one free to act as the servitor of the Lord, even though one is in the material world. This stage is called the Jivan Mukta stage, or the liberated stage, even in the material world. That is the process of ending material existence. One must not only think that he is Brahman, but must act like Brahman. One who only thinks himself Brahman is an impersonalist. And one who acts like Brahman is the pure devotee. Oma jnana timanandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shigurave nama. So, Srila Prabhupada has very mercifully made it very, very, very clear. The difference between an impersonalist and a pure devotee. Of course, even to come to the impersonalist platform is some degree of elevation of consciousness. To come to the platform of being an impersonalist, one has to realize, always be thinking, that I have nothing to do with this material energy. You see, if you're thinking you have something to do with this material energy, then you're a karmi, that's all. If you're thinking you have anything to do with this material energy, you're a karmi, that's all. Fruitive worker trying to enjoy your senses, that's all. So at least we have to come to the platform of understanding, I have nothing to do with this material energy. If we have that understanding, at least we can be an impersonal. If we have a desire to enter into the eternal pastimes, the Nitya Lila, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we should not be content simply to be an impersonal. If our desire is to actually be an associate of the Lord, to enjoy the company of the Lord, you see, to taste the nectar of the spiritual existence, you see, then we have to wake up in the Bhagavatam class. If we sleep in the Bhagavatam class, chanting instead of Hare Krishna, we chant You see? Then we take breath again. You know what body is very suitable for sleeping? The bear. So, if you like this tropical climate, then you better not sleep, because bears don't live in these tropical climates. They live where it's cold. Ice. That's why they sleep. When it gets very, very cold, they just go to sleep to get away from the cold. So there's no cold here that we have to sleep to get away from. Stay awake. So, if one is not happy simply to merge in Brahman, which is actually not everything that it's cracked out to be, because Bhagavatam says, Vimukti maninas. You know the meaning? It means it's liberation in the mind only. In other words, you're not really liberated. You just think you are. You just think you're liberated. It's some kind of elevation. It is listed as one of the five types of mukti, so you're your mukti. But Bhagavatam makes it very clear, Aruya Krishchena Parang padam tata patanchito nadrichit yushmarangriya. And then it says Vimukti maninath, the second half of the verse. It's simply an imagined liberation. You haven't really gotten liberated. You see? You can float in the sky of Brahman for some time thinking that you're liberated, but because your tendency has not been reawakened to love the Lord in transcendental devotional service, patanti adho. Down they fall. Mm-hmm. Patanti adho. Patati is singular. He falls down. Mm-hmm. Patati. Patanti is they fall. Patati is he falls. Mm-hmm. Don't be that he that falls down. So, how to come to this platform that Prabhupada is explaining? One has to understand that I am the servitor of the Lord. You see? That is a very important thing. Now, this is a very poetic, Prabhupada is very poetic. You must have noticed in the way he expresses things. That is natural. Actually, a pure devotee is poet, naturally. And actually that poetic quality is there within each jiva, because everyone is a pure devotee, actually. It's just covered. So the more that you advance in Krishna consciousness, the more your natural poetic qualities emerge. And we see that. I know I used to enjoy going to the leaders' meetings in North America just because the jokes were so poetic. There was, just for the jokes, if nothing else, transcendental jokes, the very clever, poetic jokes. If nothing else, the jokes were great. Because they were so clever. The poetic ability of the devotees was so amazing. If for no other reason, just to hear the latest poetic jokes from the mouth of the Vaishnavas made it worth it to go to the meetings. So Prabhupada is very poetically saying here, and another one of those Freudian slips, actually Prabhupada is poetically staying here also in this temple, because we see that devotees here are sincerely serving his mission. Because of that, Prabhupada is staying here. And we can say he's poetically staying here, because actually everything Prabhupada does is poetic. Every gesture of his hand, every way he speaks, everything about Prabhupada is pure poetry. So anyway, here Prabhupada is saying, one who thinks himself Brahman is an impersonalist, and one who acts like Brahman is the pure devotee. So, what is the point here that we need to focus on, or one of the points? The point is, what is the difference between thinking that we're Brahman and acting like we're Brahman? Because that will make us or break us on this pathway back to home, back to Godhead. If you think, yes, I'm a devotee, but you don't act like a devotee, guess what? You're not a devotee. That song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what does he say? Here comes another disciple of Kali. Kali Chela. He has tilak in the nose, he has kanti mala, and he's having illicit sex in the meantime. You see? So we have to actually act like devotees. And as we discussed last night, we had a detailed discussion of the science of controlling the mind. Because you can't make an act of being a devotee for very long if you're not thinking like a devotee. If you don't have an attitude of a devotee, you may artificially, like a dancing dog, act like a devotee for some time. You see? But you won't be able to keep it up. And just like the dog, you can put him on the throne, right? Put a crown on his head, but then as soon as you throw a bone, what happens? Runs off, jumps off the throne, gives up his crown and goes for that bone. You see? So simply acting like a devotee is also not sufficient. We have to actually think like a devotee. This is crucial. This is absolutely crucial. We have to train our minds to always think like a devotee thinks. And it's not easy because the mind is full of so much rubbish from so many millions of lifetimes of material sense gratification. It's not easy. Let's face it. It's not easy. The mind is loaded with crud. One disciple just wrote me, she has trouble that, you know, her mind keeps thinking of so many mundane songs she used to enjoy before she became devoted. She wants to know how to deal with this. These songs keep playing through, you know, it's like the reruns. That happens sometimes. Devotees have, in their mind, they're reliving all their past sinful activities and trying to squeeze some more pleasure out of them. Punak punas charvata charvananam. Chewing the chew. They think, well, when I was a karmi, I was enjoying in this way, I was enjoying in that way. You see? Thinking back, oh yes, how sweet it was when I was a karmi. This is very, very dangerous thoughts. We have to learn to look back at our previous activities before we surrender to Krishna as very, very painful. We have to see actually how miserable we were. If we can think, if we can reflect on our previous activities and see how miserable we were, that will be very good for our Krishna consciousness. You don't have to just wipe out your memories before you became a devotee. But you have to see those memories, those experiences from the standpoint of Scripture. Or some of you were born into this movement, so you don't really have any that kind of a thing to deal with. Then in another way, we have to see how, in a more subtle way, what kind of misery we get into when we don't strictly absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness. That we can also see. What kind of anxiety we feel when we don't purely think, speak, and act. And that also we can judge and analyze and study. It's interesting here, there's no midway point. Prabhupada is talking about impersonalist and then pure devotee. He's not talking about, well, you know, different levels of devotees. He's making a very clear distinction. He doesn't say one who acts like Brahman is the devotee. He says one who acts like Brahman is the pure devotee. So the real point is, Prabhupada wants us all to be pure devotees. Really, that's the point. He doesn't want us to, he's not giving us an option here. Well, you can be an impure devotee. not giving us that option in this discussion. One who acts like Brahman is the pure devotee. So that's what he wants us to do. Prabhupada wants us to become pure devotees. So each and every one of us has to look very carefully into our own hearts, into our own things that we talk about and our own activities, and see what is impure in what I'm doing. Because I guarantee you, Prabhus and Matajis, you are doing things and thinking things and speaking things that are impure. That's the reality of our present status. You are. So we have to look at those things and try and learn to distinguish between what am I doing right and what am I doing wrong. So you can minimize the things you're doing wrong and maximize the things you're doing right. The things that you're doing wrong, they should be going gradually decreasing. I mean, it'd be nice if we could do it all at once, but it's just not practical. It's a gradual process. So we have to see that the things I'm doing wrong are gradually diminishing. The things I'm doing right are increasing. If we're on, that's called the progressive path. If we're not on that pathway, you see, well, I'm just going to do a holding pattern. No, you have to be moving forward. Otherwise, you won't be tasting the nectar. We are meant to always be moving forward in Krishna consciousness. If we're not, it's a stagnant river. It's the Hare Krishna movement. We're meant to be moving forward on the pathway of spiritual progress. If we're not progressing, we will be regressing. Do you understand these points? Does it make sense to you, Prabhu, what I'm saying? Yes. If we're not progressing, we will be regressing. And I guarantee you, if you are regressing, you will be regretting. Because there's no nectar in regressing spiritually. It's a very sad situation to have made some spiritual advancement and then to lose it. It's a very, very sad situation. It comes by committing Vaishnava aparad, especially. So the best thing to do, when in doubt, take the humble position. If you're thinking, well, maybe I did the right thing, or maybe I did the wrong thing, you're not absolutely sure, to play safe, you should always take the humble position and say, Prabhu, here's the easy way to cover yourself. Prabhu, if I've ever in any way been offensive to you by thought, words, or deeds, please forgive me. You see, you didn't even admit you were wrong. But you're just saying, you're honestly saying, if I was in any way offensive to you by thinking, speaking, or acting, kindly accept my apologies. If I was ever offensive to you. And we'll let Krishna be the judge. You see? That way you're covered. You can come clean with every single Vaishnava by taking that move. You're not admitting that you're just leaving it up to Krishna to be the judge. My dear Prabhu, if in any way I've ever offended you by thought, word, or deed, please forgive me. You see? If we have that mood of clearing off whatever offenses we've committed against Vaishnavas, then you will find you will make incredible progress on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. You will taste the sweetest nectar, I guarantee it. I absolutely guarantee. And if you don't, $10,000 US dollars will be your prize money. If you try this and you don't taste the result, $10,000 US, $100 bills, crisp US $100 bills, 10,000 will be your prize. If you follow this instruction and you don't feel this, if you don't taste the sweetest nectar by doing that, then my dear Prabhu, whatever offenses I may have ever committed against you in thought, word, and deed, please forgive me. You see? And if each and every one of us has that mood, humbly begging all the Vaishnavas for forgiveness, then all the difficulties, all the disintegration, all the conflict, the fighting, the politics, that which is simply Maya, Kali's influence that try to disrupt this movement. That's all it is. It's the personality of Kali trying to stop and spread this Krishna consciousness movement. The personality of Kali will be frustrated. What the hell is going on here? I can't influence anyone anymore. He'll get frustrated like anything. He'll go somewhere else to, you know, try to exert his influence. I won't be able to exert it here in this kind anymore. You see, if we all take this mood of humbly begging the Vaishnavas, of any way I've ever offended you, my dear Prabhu, my dear Mataji, in any way if I've ever offended you, please accept my apologies. I bow down at your feet and beg your mercy. You see, that we should be willing to do with each and every devotee in the whole world. That mood, that will make ISKCON perfect. That will make us perfect. So, that being said, we can now open the floor up for questions, disagreements, corrections, whatever. Floor is open. Let me ask you a question. Is what I'm saying correct, or is it not correct? Have I guided you properly or improperly? What do you say? Nanda Nandana Prabhu. Have I given proper guidance today? Yes. Nanda Nandana has confirmed. I have given proper guidance. So now, does everyone agree to follow the guidance I have given? You will take the humble mood to all the Vaishnavas? Everyone who agrees, raise your hand. You didn't raise your hand. How come? You don't speak English? Angrezi bolo? Huh? So,
you know, sometimes like you are here with us, we have told what you have said, that for us to be humble to each other. We will do that, but sometimes when you might go with, even if you approach some devotees who, you know, who are not in good terms with us, we have asked for forgiveness. Sometimes when we go to them, they want to accept our apology. In that kind of situation, what we should do?
You send me an email then. I'll be your mediator. simple thing. If you try to humble yourself with a devotee and it just you don't connect with them, just let me know and I'll be the mediator. Simple thing. But we should not have the attitude, well, I'm right and he's wrong. You see? We have the attitude that I must also be wrong, otherwise why do I have a material body? There's got to be something wrong with my attitude, otherwise I would not have a material body. You see? The proof is, you have a material body. There's something wrong with your attitude. That's why you have a material body right now. We all are guilty of having something wrong with our attitude. That's why we have material bodies. Who can say that they have a perfect attitude? None of us can claim to have said that. You see, someone like Prabhupada, who's a Nitya Siddha, who came from the spiritual world, he had the perfect attitude. Those of us who were born in the cycle of birth and death, because of our rebellious attitude against Krishna, we have contaminated attitude. We've taken shelter of Prabhupada's movement to get free of that suffering condition. So now let's be serious about it and do it. Why should we hover in a state of imperfection when we can take this process very seriously and taste the sweetest nectar? We're doing nothing but drinking poison knowingly, as Narottam says. If we don't do it, we're just drinking poison knowingly. Janiya Shaniya Vishakainu. We're drinking poison knowingly. We do not seriously try to free ourselves from all of the contamination of our hearts. So anyway, any questions more? Yes.
What is the question and apologize and give the judgment to Krishna. So that is very nice. But what do you like?
I can't hear. Maybe the fan could be turned off or you could come closer. Yes. If we take a humble position,
leave the judgment to Krishna.
That will
leave the judgment to Krishna.
Make us dear to Krishna.
Leaving the judgment to Krishna.
Let Krishna make the judgment. Yes.
Let Krishna make the judgment.
That's right.
But what if it is a repeated action, like repeatedly offending and repeatedly apologizing and offending? It may be due to the material conditioning that we forget about it and then we redo it.
My point is that if one is actually sincerely taking that mood, understanding that anything I may have done or anything I may have said could have been wrong, we take a humble position like that and sincerely try to rectify our relationships with the devotees, Krishna will give us the intelligence to know when we were right and when we were wrong. And what is the proof? 10:10 Bhagavad Gita. Teshang satati yuktanam. If one is really sincere that I want to come clean with Krishna, I want to come clean with the Vaishnavas, anything I may have said or anything I may have done in the past could have been wrong, even though I thought it was right. It could have been wrong. If we take that attitude, then Krishna will give us the intelligence from within the heart to know. We don't say that you have to accept that when you did something right, that I may have done something right, and someone criticized me for doing the right thing. That I don't have to say it was wrong. Prabhupada said that one time. One of my godbrothers, he wrote Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada, my godbrothers always criticized me. Prabhupada said, mine did too. He said, you have to be callous to the criticism. So in other words, there is a case of being criticized when you're doing the right thing also. The point is, if you're sincere to rectify yourself of whatever faults you have, Krishna will give you intelligence to know when what you have done that is right and what you have done that is wrong. He will give you the. You have to be sincere though. You have to be willing to be ready for a surprise also. You may have to be shocked and realize when I thought I was doing something right, it was actually very wrong. You have to be prepared for a shock. You have to be prepared for it. You have to be prepared for whatever Krishna has for you, waiting. Humbly present yourself before the Lord and be prepared for whatever comes. And be willing to be bold to enter into a new level of Krishna consciousness. To boldly leave aside all your preconceptions and enter into a new enlightened state of consciousness, I guarantee you it will be worth it. It is called Krishna consciousness. Yes, Krishna consciousness. That's what it is. That's all I'm doing, is I'm just telling you how to be actually Krishna conscious. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Nothing beyond that. Yes.
Ayesha could get more to what Vishnu Vishwanath Prabhu said. He said, if you ask forgiveness, after that, keep on repeating. He may be right in a way, but on the other side, you should look at what provoked this passion that he keeps on making his mistake. He's saying, come, you apologize, after that, you go apologize. But something provoked him 3 or 4 times, and he come and apologize to you.
He's saying if somebody apologizes and they do the same thing again?
Three or four times, if I offend this Prabhu, I ask
for apology. And you keep,
And I keep on doing it.
Then you have to look at what provoking,
that means keep on repeating it. So we have to take both sides together. So what I'm trying to say, you can do it.
Krishna is in the heart of both the devotees, and he wants them to have a loving relationship with each other. So if both of them are sincerely trying to overcome whatever aparads they may be committing to each other, then Krishna will help both of them to do that. It takes two people to fight, you see. You may try to fight with me, but if I'm not in a fighting mood, I'll just let your fighting taunts bounce off of me. You see what I'm saying? It takes two people to have a fight. But if someone is coming to me in an offensive way, then I will do everything I can to not take offense, but just try to help that person to give up that offensive attitude, which is causing them unnecessary anxiety. And one has to repay offense with compassion. That's what senior devotees do. They're often offended by neophytes or by non-devotees, and they just tolerate that and try to help the person. That's what it means to become an advanced devotee. You don't take offense that what anybody has ever done to you. You never take offense. You just try to help that person. That's an advanced devotee. It's not having a big position, you know, well, I'm a manager, I'm a guru, I'm a GBC, I'm a sannyasi, I have a stick. No. An advanced devotee is one who can tolerate all offenses that are made against him and just repay them with love. That's an advanced devotee. So you become advanced. That's what I'm saying. Become advanced. And that if everyone tries to actually come to that advanced position, then this movement will take off like a rocket. The whole world will join this movement very quickly. That's a fact. It all begins right here. Revolutionize your own heart. And then you will become empowered to revolutionize the world. That's what I'm saying. Okay? Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.